What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Sean Walker Show, Season 2, Episode 2. Come off a big win against John C. Smith up in Charlotte last night. And we got my man here this morning. Brother Sean, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man. I can't complain this morning at all. I've had much worse days than I have this morning, so I'm pretty feeling pretty good.
You know, yes, sir. You know, Sean, I was keeping track of the game last night on John C. Smith's website, man, and I saw it get the lead. I was like, come on, let's hold the lead. My man needs a great win. So talk about you teaching your team about finishing in this game and not making those same mistakes that we saw in Lamar and Owen, but coming up back and responding the right way after days of having to practice and kind of drill and get better this last week or so.
Yeah, we had a tough week of practice. We had a tough week of trying to get a chance to learn who we are and know ourselves and have some attitude changes. So, you know, last night, you know, ironically, man, the game was back and forth. We were up six at some point, went down five or six. So we went down five with 2 minutes and 36 seconds on the clock and really fought back. And last night was a night that we did show some resilience. We showed some character. You know, we were focused, and we made some plays when we needed to make. We beat a really good team last night. It's really well coached. Coach Banks does a great job in his first year there, and they're tough and big and strong on the inside. We were very fortunate, but a game that I felt like we did, we showed some signs of definite improvement, and hopefully we can continue.
No doubt, man. Like you said, man, like, I think for your guys, man, from watching the up with the person, it's like executing the game plan and not getting rushed, not getting sped up by the other team, what they're doing. Kind of play at your own pace, worry about what you're doing. And And I think having enough time off coming off that road trip was good to kind of get them in that gym and kind of refocus and reset and kind of do some self-scouting. So how did your guys really respond to that in practice coming into this game about how you want to kind of refocus them and get them to, on the right path? And because your game plan is excellent. Your game plan was just have to execute the game plan the right way.
Well, the first thing we had to do, we had to heal our locker room. And I'll be the first one to tell you, you know, we did not expect to start the season 1-4. We did not expect to start the season 2-4. We're 2-4 now. You know, we have an assortment of new players to combine with the old. When I say that, returners versus guys that are new in the program, we had to get on one accord. And, you know, that first accord is to have a good understanding of what it is that I need us to do and the way I need us to do it and the buy-in that it takes for us to be a decent team. So we spent 2 days and maybe more. We spent 2 days and a day off just dealing with what the psyche is about, what good teams look like, what winning teams look like, then what teams that lose look like. And we were on the wrong end of the spectrum, so we tried to fix that first. And then offensively and defensively, you know, the strategy of basketball comes easy when your mind and your heart is all in the same place. You know, I thought we did a good job of trying to do that. I mean, I asked some guys if they wanted to be here, they wanted to stay. I warned them if they didn't want to stay, let's go ahead and get your zip code changed because, you know, we need to get ourselves on the pathway of what this program is supposed to look like, what we stand for, what the foundations are. And last night I felt like we made some strides in the right direction as it relates to those things. And that's for me for this week, what practice is like. Now, obviously, we've won a game. you know, college basketball, you don't get a chance to celebrate too much. We've got to get back into practice today, get ready for another big weekend, and see what we can do to try to sustain these winning habits.
No doubt, Sean. Like you said, man. Like you said, man. It's like those winning ways are so important. Winning habits are so important, and just trying to get that mindset because you know, like we see it in the NFL right now with the Eagles. Even though they're winning, they're dysfunction with their wide receiver and star quarterback, and they won 9 in a row. And sometimes winning does mask issues, and trying to use those teaching tools, as you see in other sports, help these young men see, hey, the we is bigger than me. And I think if we get that mindset that we is bigger than me, we humble ourselves for the greater good of each other, that it will turn into wins on the court. If we just do the right things and play the right way as you and Coach Bennett coach him and Coach B coaches them to do every day in practice and in games as well.
Well, that's the most difficult part of coaching. I tell people all the time that coaches have to coach human nature. Yes, and sir. Human nature is about I first, all right? To think that it's just about me. And a lot of times when you have that disease of me, is what Pat Riley calls it, you can't even have an adequate understanding of why it is that you're not productive. Why is it that coach is telling me I'm not playing hard when I think I am, all right? And so these are the things that coaching is all about. The X and O's are simplistic, so to speak. You got to touch the mind and the hearts of these kids who are getting information from all these different places that a lot of times are not really factual. So getting everybody on the same page, having an understanding of what needs to transpire is important. And you know, also embracing the fact that sometimes every situation is not for you. All right, we're not here to baby you. We're not here to beg you. Listen, let's get on the same page. Or you might need to take your talents to a place that you can be on the same page with your coach or your teammates, and that's important. I mean, sometimes you get stronger by a reduction and deduction. We don't want that to happen at Allen. We don't want that to happen at any time. But the reality is we need everybody on the same page. We don't expect you to be perfect, but we expect you to be perfectly engulfed into what we're doing. And when you do that, now the end result is the winning. the productivity and the process moves us into where we want to be in the final stages. And we've got to do a little bit better job of getting there, but we're working at it.
And I'll tell you this, Sean, that's just because you meet my brother, my friend. The way you coach your guys is one of a kind, because for me, the way you give out information is very, you can receive it very well. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, I didn't get that in my situation where I was at. The information came in a messed up kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, my dad always say, Sean, it's what you say and how you say it. Yeah. And I think you do a great job of that with your guys. Even in the midst of disappointment, you give them a message in a way they can receive it. It's how you say it to them in a loving way.
Well, so the teaching philosophy is that I do it first, and then we do it together, and then I allow them to go do it, right? And then the reinforcement when you get to the point of the you do it is important. You know, in this day and age, I found that I spend a great deal of time giving metaphors, all right? Because the basketball piece, a lot of times these kids didn't play like we did. Right. And so the metaphorical aspect of communication is important to kind of help them to understand exactly what you're doing. So, you know, I appreciate that comment. You know, I don't know if our players, you know, would agree all the time. I say to them that, you know, obviously I know that I understand what I'm saying very, very well. And so now getting them to not only hear me, listen to what I'm saying, and then actually be able to go out and produce is the task. And in teacher education, I learned, you know, growing up in a family of educators, that if you teach, and you feel like you were thorough in your teaching and your students did not get it, then you did not teach it. And so that's what coaching is. We've got to continue to grind it and grind it and grind it until the players understand, however that may be. And the good part about it is it's a long season, and that process is ever going.
And, Sean, what do you see on film from Spring Hill? I know that they got two young brothers who like to do their own thing, man, and they really get after it. So, and they like to play that precision game as well, Spring Hill. So what do you see on film from those guys as you get ready for them this weekend?
Spring Hill's a very, very good team, very well coached. And Spring Hill's a little bit different than some of the teams in our league. They really spread you out and shoot the ball. I mean, they really run good offense, and they share the ball and not a lot of set plays. And they got a big-time shooter over there that's like a doesn't-miss guy. Walter Pegg, I think his last name is, Pegg, something like that. But Walter's his first name, and big-time shooter. And they play a couple guys that can really shoot the ball. They played a couple nights ago against Auburn State and had three guys with 20 points. All right, they score a lot of points. And so we got our hands full for sure. We're at home. Right now, I'm super concerned with how we're going to respond. I hope we'll have a happy practice tomorrow, a happy environment that will be one that will be attentive, and we can understand what needs to transpire. And we just beat a really, really good Johnson C. Smith team. I mean, they were a really good team. And so I'm hoping that'll give us some momentum. We play some tough games. We play close games. All of our games have been close. Even the Lane game, we were only down 6 with 5 minutes to go. We just lost it there at the end. So we're looking for a good game. I do know we can't afford to give Spring Hill 90 points. I know that much. We can't afford to give up 10, 11 threes. I know that. And then we've got to be able to score the ball. We got 70 points last night for the first time in the season. So 70 is like 100 for us, right? And so I'm looking forward to seeing how we can continue to improve.
And do you feel, Sean, from looking at Miles a little bit, do you feel like, because Miles got those shooters too, those guys that can really, number 4, they number 3, they can really get going there for him. So do you feel like playing Spring Hill in a way helps you prepare to play Miles on Monday night, because they kind of have similar situations where they want to shoot those threes and come off the bench number 35 if they would. What the dude is who can rebound the ball like crazy if they miss.
Yeah, so Miles is it's a powerful team, right? I believe Miles right now is playing better than everybody in the league, all right? Coach Watson's, hey, every year, you know, you got to deal with Coach Watson and Miles, and you know, they're going to be fundamentally sound. They're going to be solid. Miles doesn't need to get 100 points to beat you. Miles can win a 50-point game because they really grind you out on defense as well. But Miles is going to be a, you know, tough challenge. Miles has, in my opinion, where they have the preseason player of the year in Alvin Miles, who is their point guard, who is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal little player. I thought he had graduated last year. I wish he had. He's superb. And then they have a bunch of guys that are around him. We got a big kid inside. It's physical. They can score. And I think they've got at least three of their five guys back from last year, tournament runner-up. So they're going to cause us some problems, but we got them at home. And at this point, you know, we got to play quality basketball. I think if we can sure up some things and continue to play quality style of ball, we'll be in those games. And then we'll see what happens at the end.
No doubt, man. Like, hey, the SIAC East is crazy, but the West is crazy too, with all the competition on the West side of it. You got Tuskegee after that, but we'll get that next show. But, like, you know, the main thing about it is, man, that your guys are competing. You know, it's an opportunity to get better every day. And let me ask you, because I'm probably asked you before. So I know how we did it at Tennessee State, but how do you kind of, in your own mind, do these one-day preps where you got one day in between the games to get ready? So suppose listeners out here who don't really know what we're talking about, when you play Saturday and Monday, you get one day in between with the prayer on that Sunday. So how do you kind of handle that Sunday to prepare for that Monday game?
Yeah, well, I try my best not to get caught with that. And we start preparing when we have 4 or 5 days, like we have 6 days in between Johnson C. Smith, or we're in exams, all right? Obviously, we got to spend some time doing things that we need to do for us. But as it relates to the similarities of those teams, we practice those things all week. So some of the things that we do, we saw last night with stagger screens, guys coming off two screens and looking to shoot the ball at Johnson C. Smith, same thing Spring Hill is going to do, same thing that Miles is going to do. So we know we have a cohort of concentration to those things. You know, we're going to see cross screens on both sides. We're going to put a cohort of those things together. Now, when we get ready to come, it's not reinventing the wheel on Sunday. It's walking through, okay, we did this all week last week. This is why we did it. All right, we need to see this. This is why we do it. Then there's just some fundamental things that we not have to do. We know we got to get to the glass on both sides of the ball. We know we got to get back in transition. We know we can't afford to give up open, uncontested threes because we don't score 100 points. So we focus on those things every day. Anyway, those games, that game plan doesn't change, all right, even when we play against ourselves. So one-day turnarounds are hard, but it also gives you an opportunity to get ready for tournament play. If you're going to be a good team, you're going to have 0 days to get ready for a game, all right? So you play on Thursday. All right, you're in the semifinals on Friday. You don't get the luxury to have a day in between. You play the championship on Saturday, don't have the luxury to give a day in between. So you got to be ready when duty calls, and that's kind of the way we try to do things as it relates to moving into practice.
No doubt, because I know fans don't understand. So I want to give you give insight because they don't really understand that, the way that goes into that, man. So, yeah, it was great to give the fans an insight about how to push this prep thing goes. And last one for you, Sean, man, as we go into this holiday season, man, what's some of your favorite holiday traditions and songs for people out there who want to know a little bit more about the coach, Sean Walker, man?
Yeah, well, I don't know about songs, man. I'm a holiday person because I like to eat. So, you know, normally Christmas time is my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving because it's so much food. But, you know, obviously coaching basketball, you don't get to enjoy most of the time. Can't get home with family and stuff like that because you're playing. So Christmas time will allow me to be home with my family and see if my mom can strike up some of that turkey and ham and all that good stuff that people have on Thanksgiving too. And then, you know, and that's pretty much it, man. I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy the holiday season. I enjoy, you know, moving into the new year. Christmas break's always a break. We have 7 days. So I can do some of the things that I want to do for 5 or 6 of those days before it's time to come back and you know, regenerate. But you know, in terms of Christmas music, I don't know. I mean, shoot, I think we listen to Christmas music every day. I go to work every day. I got gospel music playing. I'm thankful to God for what He has done and how He moves in my life, and so that's a day to day kind of aspect for me. And you know, being home with family is important, and I enjoy that.
Now, Sean, let me ask you this question: have you ever had a cookout on Christmas before?
Well, my mother has a dinner every year. She has, I'm not a cookout, but she has a big dinner at her house. This year she's doing it Christmas Eve. So that my mom's side of the family, my dad's side of the family come over. You know, people are getting older now. Obviously my dad will be 80 on February the 9th and my mother will be 79 in June. So that's big for them. But, you know, I get thrust into cooking fish and being outside, be it cold or be it brisk outside, I'm outside frying fish and sending it in the house or whatever the case may be. That's our form of cookout. And something my mother and father look forward to. And now people look forward to eating fish that I cook. So listen, that's the cookout piece for us. And so we have a big smorgasbord at the house in a little small town, Roper, North Carolina. And it's pretty fun.
Yeah, man. I was like, we had burgers, we had fries, steaks on the grill. So we had a full cookout on Christmas. That's why I asked.
Well, a lot of times people do those things, particularly they eat the traditional meal on the day of or whatever, and then days after they don't want that food anymore, so they go and do something like that. And those traditions are fun, man. Those are those things that we don't take seriously until the time goes. I just remember going to my grandmother's house in Goldsboro, North Carolina for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that was automatic for us. And now my grandmother and grandfather are gone on, and you know, you can't do it anymore, you know, right? There's a new tradition that goes on in my house, at my parents' house, where we used to take that tradition to Goldsboro. So, and I think we have to value those things while we can, being around family. When people are gone, then you're left with memories. And so, you know, you want to have an opportunity to be totally engulfed in family tradition so that they carry on and on and on for our kids and their kids and so forth and so on.
Yeah, I'm thankful that we'll be home for 9 days from the 20th to the 29th, so I'll be able to enjoy the family. We off on Eve and Christmas, so I can be able to get out and go plate hop and maybe hit me a few cookouts too.
Right.
I'm at a bunch of plates because I don't, like you saw, you're gonna laugh at this, bro. I ain't used my stove in about a month and a half.
Yeah. So, I never use, well, you're doing good because I never use mine. So I eat out every day, maybe sometimes twice a day. It's a bad thing, but that's what it is.
Oh, damn. But Sean, good to catch up with you guys. You got to win yesterday, man. We're going to be cheering for you and praying for you guys in Spring Hill against Miles. So, man, let's go get them, man. We'll talk to you next week, my good brother.
No doubt about it. Look forward to it.
All right.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. What's up, family? Gerald the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.